Lecture topic, Sunnats of the Heart.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. والله غفور رحيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى قيل ومن يأبى يا رسول الله قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. When a person has some objective to live for, then life itself becomes very meaningful because he's living for an objective. He has some direction, he has some purpose in life. And if a person has nothing in terms of a direction, as some destination and goal, some purpose, some objective, it's just for the day, then sooner or later he's going to become very frustrated, he's going to lose all zest for life, and that's when sometimes a person then gets hijacked by nafs and shaitan, because now he's got no direction, got no objective, no purpose. So then nafs and shaitan make certain things look like this will be a suitable objective, pursue this, this will give you some excitement, this will give you some fun, this will make your life very enjoyable. And obviously nafs and shaitan are both his enemies. So it is a very deceptive picture that they put in front of him. And because he is lacking a proper goal, proper destination, he runs in that direction. And in time, then he gets deeper and deeper into something that destroys his dunya, destroys his akhirat. So a mu'min Allah Ta'ala has given us a goal. And what is the goal of a mu'min? The goal of the mu'min is that وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. The ultimate is, my creator, my sustainer, my Allah must become pleased with me. Everything is directed in this direction. That Allah Ta'ala must become pleased with me. Whatever I do, how I look. Now no matter what halat and conditions may come to a person, because dunya is after all not jannat. Dunya is not a place where there is only grief, and neither is a place where there's no challenges. Dunya is a mixture of everything. But in the midst of this mixture of everything, this challenge of dunya, a person who has iman, then the first thing that he's conscious about all the time is that this is a very temporary place. This is not an everlasting place. The everlasting abode is still coming. So any person who has this consciousness that this is a very temporary place, tomorrow might be a too distant time away for me to think about dunya. Long before tomorrow I could be gone. So when this is the reality, I can't make this my goal. This dunya can't become my objective because it's so uncertain. Today a person is here, today he's gone. Allah knows best when my turn is coming. So when this is so uncertain, I can never ever make dunya my goal. All the leisures and pleasures of dunya is the goal. All the amassing of dunya is the goal. Because suddenly all this is going to get left behind. But what's going to count is what a person then takes along. None of dunya is going to come along. So a mu'min has a goal. And the first thing he's conscious about in this regard is that this is a very temporary life. Very short life. And he's also then, as a mu'min, he's conscious of this, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared, "Dunya sijnul mu'min, wa jannatul kafir." Dunya is a prison for the believer. Dunya is a prison for the believer. One person, he questioned somebody about it, that you say dunya is a prison for the believer, but I'm seeing many of my Muslim friends, the person was non-Muslim, but he heard about this Hadith Sharif. I see many Muslim people, mashallah, they are outwardly, to what extent I can gauge, having a very comfortable life, a life of ease, and whatever other things that people often dream about, desire, they seem to have it. And people who don't have iman, we see them, many of them, in dire circumstances, and you say that the dunya is a prison for the mu'min and a jannat for the kafir. But now many times we see it's the opposite. So that is due to the lack of understanding of what this means. What it means, dunya is a prison for the believer, that a prison is full of restrictions. A prison, a person can't do as he pleases. Whatever his desires might be, he'll have to leave it aside. He'll just have to follow the restrictions. Restrictions on movement. He can't go beyond a certain point. He's stuck within that cell, and if they let him out, he's in that prison yard. That's it. Restrictions of time. This time you will wake up. He desires to sleep. Sorry, he's not going to be allowed to sleep, otherwise he'll be punished. So he will wake up at that time. You have to sleep at this time. You will eat at this time. You're not allowed to have these things into the... Say, no, but I own all this. I bought it. You see, that's all outside there. You will not be allowed to bring even a phone into this cell of yours. Allah Ta'ala save us from all these halat and save one and all. But the lesson in it, dunya sijnul mu'min, dunya is a prison for the believer, meaning that like this prisoner has got so many restrictions, Allah Ta'ala has placed restrictions on this mu'min in this temporary abode of dunya. Restrictions also on when he will wake up, for example, that it's fajr time, you cannot continue sleeping now. You must wake up. Because Allah's command is that you must perform the fajr salah, which is farz. And that time is a specific time. You can't delay it past that time. So now there's a restriction of sleep. You must wake up by a certain time. There's a restriction like that in the other times of salah, that leave everything else and now you have to head for salah. There's a restriction on, for example, certain things are forbidden to eat, so don't ever touch it. Certain things are very totally haram. Don't consume any of it. Don't indulge in those kind of transactions. Allah Ta'ala made interest, any level of involvement in interest, whether giving, whether taking, whether being a witness to it, being a scribe of it, every level of involvement and interest, Allah Ta'ala made haram, a restriction for the benefit of insan. But nevertheless, a restriction, this prohibition. Allah Ta'ala has made all kinds of gambling haram. So now people seem to be enjoying themselves, seem to be. Outwardly, that's what it looks like. But the reality is very different. But Allah Ta'ala placed a restriction on that. Likewise, so many other things. What can you wear? What you can't wear? How will a person be required to dress? So there are restrictions on things. There are restrictions on movement. Certain places you will not go to. These places are places of fitna, of sin and vice. You will go to such places, you will affect your iman. Not allowed to get into that place. Restrictions on even thought. That you're not allowed to harbor suspicions about others. If you have some evidence, then yeah. But without any evidence, you cannot jump to conclusions about somebody. Otherwise, it will be taken to task. Your thoughts, things within you, you're not allowed to harbor jealousy for anybody. Because a jealousy that will destroy the good deeds, like fire consumes and burns up dry wood. Pride within total restriction and prohibition. One of the worst sins that a person can fall into. Sin of pride, hidden deep down in the heart. And outwardly everything seems so rosy and so fine and so wonderful. But what's happening deep down in the heart? Allah knows. Person is looking down at others and thinking better of himself. So now there's a total prohibition on that. Don't allow pride to be inside. And keep making the effort to cleanse out the pride. So now restrictions within, restrictions outwardly. But though these are restrictions, but the restriction, for example, a parent restricts that little child from playing with matches. And the child feels like it's zulm or something. He says, why? When you grow up, you'll understand. Not zulm. This is ayn-e rahmat. This is entirely compassion and kindness. That you are being restricted from playing with matches. You are being restricted from playing with a knife. This is compassion in its entirety. Now that child feels he's being oppressed. That now I need this knife. It looks so exciting to me. I need to play with it. But that's entirety, compassion in its entirety, kindness and mercy in its entirety, that the parents, they will tolerate the tantrum of the child, but will not allow him to play with that knife. So likewise, this nafs throws up a tantrum sometimes. I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to go here, and I want to do that. But it is Allah Ta'ala's mercy in its entirety, that Allah Ta'ala made all these khaba'ith. وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ Allah Ta'ala made all the things that are harmful for insan, that will destroy his deen, destroy his dunya. Allah Ta'ala made it haram so that he doesn't come close to it. He doesn't indulge in it. Why? Because Allah loves this banda to succeed. So now when a parent is truly wanting to help that child succeed, so besides the support he'll give him, he'll also make sure he keeps away from things that are going to harm him. See, this company you're not going to join. This company is very harmful for you. This company is going to take you into drugs and whatever else. Sorry, you're not going to join them. Now, if he throws a tantrum, you say whatever it is, you're not going. Why? Because they want him to succeed. They don't want him to fall in all kinds of evil and vice. Allah Ta'ala wants us to be successful. So Allah Ta'ala made all intoxicants haram. Allah Ta'ala made gambling haram. Allah Ta'ala made zina haram. Allah Ta'ala made lying and ghibat haram and forbidden. And all the other prohibitions, because all these prohibitions keep insan safe. Keep him safe in dunya. And the real safety is of the akhirat, of the azab of akhirat. That it'll save him from the azab of akhirat and take him safely to Jannah with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala. So the ultimate goal and destination of a mu'min is that he wants to earn Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. If Allah is pleased, then his dunya and akhirat is made. So now how he's going to earn Allah Ta'ala's pleasure? So he's going to keep within these restrictions. So dunya sijinul mu'min. And jannatul kafir, no restriction of the kafir. So he might be in dire circumstances, but he's got no restriction. So the context is this. But then this mu'min keeps himself within these restrictions, this gets him the freedom of Jannah. That he restricted himself, withheld his nafs. Now, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ When this mu'min reaches Jannah, then the announcement will be made to him that whatever you desire will be granted. Because you held back your desires in dunya. You trample those desires for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So you please Allah Ta'ala by trampling those desires, Allah will fulfill all your desires in Jannah and please you. So now this is the goal, this is the destination that my Rabb must be pleased, Allah Ta'ala must be pleased. So for that if I have to hold back from things, very good, no problem. If I have to be fulfilling things, Allah's commands, I must fulfill it. No second thoughts about it. So now, this is the primary goal, that Allah Ta'ala must be pleased. This is described in different ways, gaining the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, gaining the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So this muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, this love of Allah Ta'ala, this is a goal. This is something to make an objective. Not that I just pass through the routines. But I need to attain this purpose, this objective, that my heart must be filled with the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. How is this going to happen? One pious person was once asked that you talk about this muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, how is this acquired? What's the way in which this is achieved? So he asked him that a question in return. He says, you might have sometimes seen a fire that is now dying off. Barely some little sparks are left there. But now you want to bring this fire back. You want to get these flames roaring again. What do you do? It's dying off. Hardly anything left there. I'll fan it. You fan it. Fan it well enough. Then suddenly you see the flame coming out again. And then again it will be a roaring fire. As long as you fan it properly and well. And also at the same time while fanning it, you don't allow things that will kill the fire to come and fall upon it. Now somebody is pouring water over it. Somebody is throwing sand into it. So you prevent that as well. And you fan it well. So he says, well, that's your answer. You want to achieve the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. Every mu'min in his heart has Allah's muhabbat. Allah gives iman them. But unfortunately, we've allowed so much of sand to be thrown onto this fire, the sand of sins, the sand of evil and vice, that's now almost killed it. Alhamdulillah, the sparks are still there. They're still under that, some fire is still there. Now the matter is to clear that sand out and fan it. Fan it how? With amal. For Allah's pleasure. Undertaking the mujahada and refraining from wrong and sin. And all this will fan that fire in the heart. So this is that fanning by means of righteous deeds. The person woke up for fajr. He performed his wudu and he went to the masjid. He made his sunnahs, then went to the masjid. Outwardly, it was just he woke up and went. But this tremendously fanned that muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. Because he's doing it for Allah Ta'ala. But now he gave in to his nafs. The men sleeping. And now he's thrown a lot of sand into it. And that is going to unfortunately affect so many things. He walked out of his house, going to work. He's in the marketplace somewhere in his business. Job, and now he's confronted by so many things, but he's keeping his gaze low. He's not allowing his gaze to be falling all over the place. And in that day, some tug of war within himself, but he is conscious, my Allah is watching, my Allah is aware, what is the struggle within me? That Allah is aware. And why am I undertaking the struggle? Why am I not succumbing to this temptation? Allah is aware. And since this is being done for Allah Ta'ala, Allah will reward this. And the reward of that will be even beyond the reward of Nawafil, the whole night of Tahajjud. That is a very great ibadat. This will be rewarded even more. So now all this is fanning that muhabbat. And when that muhabbat gets fanned well enough, and it becomes a roaring fire, then a person is prepared to give his life for Allah Ta'ala, regardless of whatever it might be. And then on top of that, he will, so to say, declare from within himself, Jaan di usi ki thi, haq to ye hai ki haq ada na ho saka. That if I gave my life also, so what great achievement is this? If I gave my life for Allah Ta'ala, that life too was belonging to Allah Ta'ala. That life wasn't mine. The reality is, even having given my life, I haven't fulfilled the rights of Allah Ta'ala. That is what he will declare from within. That if I gave my life, so what? No big deal. I gave to Allah Ta'ala what belonged to him. So now if he's ready to give his life as well, to a greater extent he'll be ready to give up the haram glances. To a greater extent, he'll be ready to give up all the haram thoughts that come, that are cooked up deliberately in the heart. To a greater extent, he'll be ready to cleanse the heart out of the pride, the malice, the jealousy, the love of dunya. To a greater extent, he'll be ready to make any mujahada to do what is required of him. For example, if it's required now that he must join family relationships, because Allah Ta'ala highlights this in the Quran Sharif, الَّذِينَ يَسِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَيُّسَلْ, those who join what Allah has commanded that it should be maintained and join family relationships. And the Hadith Sharif, such great virtues for this. The dua is made at the arsh. Kinship and family ties is given a form which is suspended from the arsh of Allah Ta'ala, and it keeps making dua. Man wasalani wasalahu Allah, wa man qata'ani qata'ahu Allah. Ya Allah, the one who maintains me, you maintain him. The one who cuts me off, Ya Allah, you cut him off. Subhanallah. Can we imagine by the arsh of Allah Ta'ala dua? Dua also and baddua also. So now he, if it takes any mujahada, maybe he has to really trample his ego to do it. But if that's the requirement now, that's what I'll do. Why? Because my Allah will become pleased. This is what's going to please Allah Ta'ala. So now when that muhabbat is in the heart, it becomes a roaring fire, means nothing to him. He'll do what's required. Doesn't matter who says what. And likewise in all other things in life, he'll be concerned about what my Allah is going to be pleased with. People will have a lot of things to say. People will always have something or the other to say. But now he conducted the nikah, for example, in the sunnah manner, with simplicity, without extravagance and without any other hoo-ha. So now a lot of people might have a lot of comments to make. But now, what kind of a wedding was this? Not sure whether it was a wedding or a funeral. And somebody would say, well, if you know what, I didn't really need that plate of food, they could have invited me. I didn't need the plate of food. Why is a complaint that he didn't invite them? So all kinds of comments will come, but he's only concerned about one thing. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. That if this is going to please my Allah, then whose comments come and go makes no difference. Let the comments come. Those comments won't bother. So the issue is to gain the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. And to the extent that that muhabbat comes in the heart, then everything else falls into place in terms of what's going to make his deen and dunya, make his akhirat and his dunya life as well. So now among the things that are of the highest level in developing this muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, there are many, many things that all combine, enhance this muhabbat, develop it. The tilawat of the Quran Sharif is one very great amal in this regard. The zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, very great amal. Most importantly, taqwa itself. Inna Allah yuhibbul muttaqeen. Allah Ta'ala loves the muttaqeen. And taqwa is all about refraining from sin, from haram. So all these are very crucially important. And together with that is the aspect of the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bringing alive one sunnah in our lives. There was a very great personality, Sheikh Ahmad Kabir Rifai rahmatullah alayhi, around the 5th, 6th century. Very great personality. And there's one karamat of his that has been recorded in many books and something witnessed by thousands of people who were present at the time. He had come for Hajj, and after Hajj he went to Madinah Munawwara. And at the Rauza Mubarak, he recited some couplets. And the couplets, what it meant was, that when I was a distance away, then I used to send my soul to come and convey the salams. But now that I am now personally present, I wish to have the honor of kissing the Mubarak hand. And thousands of people that were there, because he was that caliber of person, so many had joined him as well. They were present right there. And this is recorded. Person, sometimes people find these things hard to believe. So then many things that are recorded in history will all be just fairy tales. But this is recorded. People all who witnessed it, authentically narrated it, that miraculously the Mubarak hand came out of the enclosure. He kissed it and it went back. Personality of that caliber. And this is such a karamat that never happened for anybody else. But then there's another part of this incident that is also recorded wherever this incident is, that obviously this was something really miraculous, and it obviously put him in the limelight, as we say. So he, after having done what he had to do, went and lay down at the doorway of the Haram Sharif. And he said, I am insisting on every person to walk out of this doorway having jumped over me, walking across me. Now, subdue that nafs. This is what I'm worth. People will walk past me, over my head. I'm a nobody. Subhanallah. This is the aspect that when there's something really weighty on the tree, the fruit of the tree is really full, then the tree will be hanging low. Those branches will be almost touching the ground because it's so laden with fruit. It has so much to offer. So laden with fruit. It will be hanging low. And if it's devoid of any fruit, be standing tall and high. So the true personalities of Deen and the true friends of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, because they are so full of the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, that makes them very humble, despite being so great and high. But that's what makes them so humble. When a person is empty, then he is proud and high and mighty, and nobody must tap my toes, and nobody must do this, and nobody must dare take a chance with me, nobody, I am somebody. Everybody else, nobody. But when a person is truly filled with the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, then he says, everybody is somebody, I am nobody. So he lay down in the way, and everybody must cross over me and go. So I can keep reminding myself, this is what I am worth. Everybody is better than me, they're jumping over my head and going. So in any case, this caliber of personality, one malfooz of his, one statement of his is, now he is, like as we understand the silsilas of tasawwuf, there's one silsila of the Rifai order. So he is the head of this Rifai order. It's just like a school of thought in tasawwuf basically. So in any case, he says, I went through all the details of any and every path to get close to Allah Ta'ala. Meaning all within this. For example, one is the path of some very major mujahada. So these things have been done as ilaj. It used to be prescribed. Mujahada of what sort? Eating the bare minimum just to survive. Hardly sleeping. There's also one way in which people train their nafs. As a training, this is not meant to be perpetual thing, for a period of time, as a training to rein in that nafs. People were put through these kind of exercises as well. So whatever else might have been there, he said, I went through the lot and I checked everything out. But what I found is that the most easiest of all the paths and the most effective in getting to the destination and the goal, and getting to the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, is nothing compared to the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Upholding the Sunnah, practicing on the Mubarak Sunnah, there is nothing that can compare to it. That is beyond everything. So now, this is that simple method, very simple method to reach that. There must be a goal, obviously. So Alhamdulillah, we have this goal, we want to get to the destination, that is the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, attain the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. So now this requires that we totally immerse ourselves in trying to bring alive the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our own lives, in our homes, in around us, as far as we can. Now the sunnah, we sometimes have a very restricted meaning of what is sunnah. So sunnah, any sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a very great aspect. There is no such thing as a small sunnah. There are many easy sunnahs, comparatively easier. But there is no such thing as a small sunnah. Some of the mashayikh have stated, to go to the toilet in the sunnah manner, fulfilling the sunnahs that are applicable to that, entering the toilet with the left foot, before entering reciting the dua, and the adab that go along with it, entering with the head covered, and then all the other various sunnahs that apply, how a person leaves the toilet, what dua he recites when he returns. To go to the toilet in the sunnah manner, this is far more valuable than performing a salah also without the sunnah. Haphazardly performing the salah, not fulfilling the sunnah of qiyam, what kind of posture he must adopt when doing the takbir at tahreema, what must be the direction that his palms are facing, where should his hands be placed in line with his earlobes, how should he tie his hands, what is the posture of ruku all about, how he should be making ruku correctly, how he should be making sajda in the proper manner, in the sunnah way. He's just going about it. Tu ja mein aaya, they say. As somebody described it, up, down, kiss the ground, back to town. Because too busy for our salah, too busy for our ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We are never busy to have our meals nicely, comfortably. Never busy fulfilling whatever other things we need to do. Never too busy to make sure we answer all our social media messages and whatever else. What we don't need to see also, we're not busy to see all that. But we are too busy to give a little bit extra time for our ibadat. And often, what it requires? It requires 2 minutes more. Meaning, the difference between doing it haphazardly and doing it nicely. 1.5 minutes, 2 minutes more he spent from getting probably maybe zero because it was done so haphazardly that he actually destroyed it. Like it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that a person who performs his salah in a haphazard manner, and that salah rises like a dark, in a dark manner, in an ugly manner, and then it is flung back at him like a dirty rag. And the salah curses him, بَيَّعَكَ اللَّهُ كَمَا بَيَّعْتَنِي. May Allah destroy you as you destroyed me. He took the time, he performed the salah, he came all the way to the masjid, he performed the salah, but he performed it in a haphazard manner. He didn't make the ruku properly, he didn't make the sajda properly, he barely just lifted his head and he's gone back. He didn't make the qawma and jalsa correctly. He recited in a haphazard manner, so he distorted some of the words. And now, what he saved in terms of time? He probably saved 1 minute. He probably saved 1.5 minutes. In 1.5 minutes, he destroyed it. To save that 1.5 minutes, he destroyed it. And had he taken that 1.5 minutes, from zero, he might have got maybe 75%, 80%, 90%. Just to do it calmly, correctly. So now, that 2 rakats that he performed, or whatever salah he performed in the haphazard manner, without the sunnah, the Mashayikh state that that amal of going to the toilet in a sunnah manner will be far more rewarding than this salah that was done in a haphazard way. Rather, this might end up cursing him. Now, such a simple path. So now one is the sunnah in all these aspects. But then sunnah is not confined to what our minds are generally accustomed to, that the sunnah of how we eat, how we eat, all this is part of sunnah. But this sunnah related to other aspects as well. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, and in a very affectionate manner, Ya Bunay, O my beloved son. Now, this is another big lesson in this, that many a times we are advising, or we are supposed to be advising our children, we're advising maybe others, but how are we advising? Sometimes the manner of advising our families, sometimes the manner of advising is such that before we gave the person any advice, we already broke everything down. It's like a person, he first stabbed somebody, and now while he's bleeding, so now he's trying to now patch it up. So the advice to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, Ya Bunayya, O my beloved son, meaning with compassion, with love, with muhabba. Many a times we only advise in the heat of the moment. There's a problem. So now we're advising. How the advice comes out? Like a very severe reprimand, full stop. See, not advised, but how? As a reprimand. So now the reprimand in the heat of the moment, most people don't hear anything. Most people, and we're talking about most people, we should start off thinking about ourselves. In the heat of the moment, somebody told us something, how much we took of it. Rather, we're thinking of everything, how to rebut it. How many times we took anything in the heat of the moment? We probably didn't even register what the person said. So in the heat of the moment, advice is not generally beneficial. But when things were calm, there was no problem, there was no issue, how many times we sat down to advise somebody? Like, this is how it works, this is how we're supposed to do things, this is the way that we will progress, this is what's going to harm us. So when there's a problem, now in the heat of the moment only, that's the only time we find for advice. Because the rest of the time we're too busy with our own things. That is where the ta'lim becomes so important. That gives an opportunity apart from the ta'lim. Now the ta'lim has been done, so some advice, now that mashallah, the barakat of the ta'lim, the nur of the ta'lim has softened the hearts. And now after that there is some, whatever is necessary to discuss, so some words of advice now, that impacts on the heart. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed him with such affection, Ya Bunayya, in qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsiya, wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahad, faf'al. Oh my beloved son, the crux of it, keep your heart totally clean of any malice, of any ill feeling. Don't have any dirt in your heart for anybody. That's the sum total of it. And why? فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. Because having a heart like this, clean, clean heart. And now this is keeping in mind the reality of dunya. The dunya is dunya, it's a very dusty place. Person washes his car, and sometimes he just came out of the yard, and he started, now the wind is blowing, the dust is already over, now it started drizzling also, it's like he never washed his car. So then he leaves it like that. I just washed it now, now it got so dirty again. Sometimes he might drive straight to the car wash. Because, well, it got dirty, I have to clean it again. Dunya is a very dusty place. And the heart keeps getting affected. But the heart keeps getting affected, it doesn't mean that now because we washed it, cleaned it 10 times, so now it's done for life. No, no, whole life will carry on. Whole life the cleaning process will carry on. And this is the message. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say, your heart will never ever become dirty. That was the heart of the Anbiya alayhi salam. That was the hearts of the special servants of Allah Ta'ala. For us, it wasn't told to us that it will never become, that what's told to us, keep it clean. Meaning keep sweeping that house, keep washing those clothes, keep washing the heart also. And why? فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. That is my sunnah. Now, just as we understand that to eat in the sunnah manner is sunnah and greatly rewarding, to sleep in the sunnah manner is sunnah and greatly rewarding, and likewise all the other day-to-day things that we do, and we should try to do all this. We after all are going to do the action. That action is going to happen. But doing it properly in the sunnah manner will take no additional effort. All it requires is a consciousness. To know it, to learn it, what's the sunnah way of doing it? And to do it in that conscious, with that consciousness. That will make it from zero to take it to the heights. So now that action is going to happen. We're going to do it correctly in the sunnah manner. So now just as we understand all these things are part of sunnah and very greatly rewarding, this is the sunnah of the heart. And now imagine if the sunnah of the, how the hand is used now, first a person washes the right hand in wudu, then the left hand, and first he washes the right foot and then the left foot. Imagine washing the heart, what reward that will bring. If this sunnah fulfilling it is very great, then this too is greater. This is great. This is at the heart of everything. So now these sunnah also have to be brought alive. The sunnah of keeping the heart clean. Dunya is a dusty place. But to keep making the effort to keep the heart clean. فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي مَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And the one who loves my sunnah will be with me in Jannah. In this context it was expressed. It includes everything else, but the occasion on which this was said was alongside this particular aspect. Keep the heart clean. This is my sunnah, my way of life. The manner in which I keep my heart. And the one who loves my sunnah, then he will be with me in Jannah. Sunnah is in a very broad context here. The fulfillment of the faraid is also sunnah in the sense that it is part of the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every amal is part of his Mubarak way. And likewise keeping the heart clean. So this is the path that we have to now adopt. Bring this to heart that we try to inculcate this lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam within us. Bring alive his Mubarak way of life. We learn the Mubarak Sunnah, part of the Taaleem, one authentic Kitab on Sunnah. Learn one Sunnah a week also. But then not just for the sake of knowing it in terms of theory, but the theory must translate into practice. And then see the barakat that comes with it. The way it brings that mahabba in a home. It fills that home with that noor of Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are not just things for the books, something just for talks. This is all for amal. It is for us to take the benefit of it, and the benefit comes when there's amal. And this is the path. Now in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala has declared the instruction to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni." Let's say to the entire mankind, all the ummatis and everyone, if you claim to love Allah Ta'ala, then there's only one way of proving the claim. Claim anybody can make, but the claim can be proved only in one way, that I love Allah Ta'ala, then fattabi'uni, follow me, meaning follow Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this is the proof of the claim. That a person is making the effort, trying and improving himself in fulfilling the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, externally, internally as well. And externally is very great, internally is even greater. So this way of life, and the outcome of this will be, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. The entire effort is to try and gain Allah's love, but through the ittiba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak Sunnah, Allah Ta'ala declares and Allah promises, Yuhbibkumullah. Allah will love you. You will become the beloved. And Allah will forgive your sins. This is the prescription that the Quran Sharif has given us. This is the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we make an effort to bring this alive. This ta'lim in our homes, learning about the sunnah, discussing the sunnah with our families. One sunnah at a time. Make one chart about that sunnah, or write it down and stick it in a place that's part of some prominent part of the house that everybody will keep seeing it. It'll remind everybody. We put so many reminders sometimes that fridge, the only thing you can see there is a reminder. The person forgot where he put the latest reminder. Because it's all surrounded by so many other reminders that he forgot about the reminder also. But now these are things to remind us. Remind us how to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Remind us that we have to keep building our connection with Allah Ta'ala. These are reminders. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala fill our hearts with the muhabbat of the Mubarak Sunnah. And when this muhabbat comes in, then when light comes, when day comes, night will go. It cannot happen that daybreak has come, the sun started rising, but it's still night. When the light of Sunnah will come in our hearts, then the darkness of the ways of Yahud and Nasara will go. That can't stay. Bring this light into our homes, into our hearts, then our entire lives will focus in this direction. And that zulmat and darkness will go. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Listen, Guru. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathira ya rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihim jazallahu anna nabiyyana muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu la ilaha illallah 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallam tasliman kathira Allah Allahu jalla jalaluhu amma nawaluhu Allah 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 Allah
كثيرا.
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم. يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها. يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أكرم الأكرمين، يا راحم المساكين، يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر لأمتي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اهد وأصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم اهدنا لأحسن الأخلاق، لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت. واصرف عنا سيئها، لا يصرف عنا سيئها إلا أنت. إله العالمين، يا الله، oh most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us out of your grace and mercy, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we acknowledge all the wrongs we have done, Ya Allah. There is nothing we can hide from you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you know of the unseen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you know what's in the depths of our hearts, Ya Allah. What we did in the light, broad daylight, Ya Allah. What we did in the darkness of the night, Ya Allah. Allah, everything is in front of you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we regret all the wrong we have done, Ya Allah. Allah, we are ashamed of all the sins we committed, Ya Allah. Allah, all the blatant, Ya Allah, disobedience, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, the shamelessness, Ya Allah. Allah, you forgive us, Ya Allah. You are Arhamur Rahimeen, Ya Allah. You are Ghaffarul Zunub, Ya Allah. You are Sattarul Uyub, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are the most compassionate, Ya Allah. The most forgiving, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive all our major and minor sins, Ya Allah. Forgive our families, Ya Allah. Forgive our friends and relatives, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Grant us and the entire ummah the tawfiq of those amal that bring down your rahmat, Ya Allah. Save us and the entire ummah from such actions that bring azab, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us the true and obedient ummatis of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us those who love his sunnah, Ya Allah. Those who uphold his mubarak sunnah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove us and Ya Allah, cleanse from us, Ya Allah, the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, put the nafrat of the ways of Yahud and Nasara in our hearts, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, put the muhabbat and love of the mubarak sunnah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us your obedient and pious and true servants, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Forgive all our, Ya Allah, disloyalty, Ya Allah. Forgive our disobedience, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, enable us to perform our five times salah with jama'ah, ya Allah, with khushu and khudu, ya Allah, in the sunnah manner, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah, enable us to recite the Quran Sharif daily in abundance, ya Allah. Enable us to be forever in your remembrance, ya Allah. Allah, save us from the ghaflat, ya Allah. Remove us from the ghaflat, ya Allah. Allah, all the time that we are wasting on the screens, ya Allah. Allah, you save us from that, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah, enable us to use our time productively, ya Allah. Constructively, ya Allah. In ways that you are pleased with, ya Allah. In ways that we become a means of betterment for deen, ya Allah. Allah, in uplifting deen, ya Allah. In a way that we become productive for dunya also, ya Allah. Allah, but save us from the ghaflat, ya Allah. Save us from the wasting of time, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Allah, grant us, ya Allah. Allah, the true muhabbat in our hearts, ya Allah. Bless us with your muhabbat, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa, kamula, ajila, mustadirra, da'ima. Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, ya Allah. Those in any financial difficulties, remove it with afiyat, ya Allah. Those in any anxiety, grief, worry, sorrow, ya Allah. Remove it with afiyat, ya Allah. Fill the heart with sukoon and itminan, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, give us the understanding, ya Allah. That sukoon lies in your remembrance, ya Allah. In your obedience, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us among those, ya Allah. Ya Allah, who taste the fruit of Allah, bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Ilahul Alameen, make our hearts sing, ya Allah. That our hearts become filled with your remembrance, ya Allah. Ya Allah, in our hearts gain that itminan through your remembrance, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Allah, throughout the world, every Muslim, ya Allah. Grant each one afiyat in deen, ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, ya Allah. Protect each one's iman and amal, ya Allah. Protect each one's life, health and honor, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. All the schemes of batil, make it fail, ya Allah. Make it fail miserably, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Allah, you turn their schemes against them, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Allah, throughout the world, wherever the Muslims and any suffering, ya Allah. Remove their pain and suffering, ya Allah. Remove their hardships and difficulties, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Our brothers and sisters of Palestine, ya Allah. Especially of Gaza, ya Allah. Allah, you show your special rahmat on them, ya Allah. Your special maghfirat on them, ya Allah. Special fazal on them, ya Allah. Special karam and ihsan on them, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, you protect them, ya Allah. You help them against their enemies, ya Allah. You grant them victory over their enemies, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are the barriers, ya Allah. Our sins are the barriers, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, forgive us, ya Allah. Show your rahmat, ya Allah. Show your maghfirat, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Allah, grant hidayah to the enemy also, ya Allah. Allah, hidayah is not decreed for them, ya Allah. Allah, wipe them out from the face of this earth, ya Allah. Allah, hold back the hands of these oppressors, ya Allah. Allah, hold their hands back, ya Allah. Allah, hidayah is not decreed, ya Allah. Allah, break those hands, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, manifest your qudrat, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, your qudrat is, ya Allah, the same qudrat, ya Allah. Allah, which you destroyed Abraha's army with, ya Allah. Allah, the same qudrat which you destroyed Fir'aun, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, the Fir'auns of this era also, ya Allah. Ya Allah, they are nothing, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Allah, grant them hidayat, ya Allah. If hidayat is not decreed for them, ya Allah. Allah, destroy them as you destroyed Ad and Thamud, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Allah, you give us the reality of deen, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with true muhabbat, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us yours, ya Allah. You become ours, ya Allah. Allah, all those who asked us to make dua for them, all of them, ya Allah, raise their hands to this dua. Fulfill each one's jais need and pious aspirations, ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, ya Allah. Grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, keep us steadfast on iman till our last breath, ya Allah. And take us on perfect iman, ya Allah. Raise us on the day of Qiyamah to perfect iman, ya Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين الحمد لله